to Band of Brothers Radio, your internet outpost, supplying refuge, hope, and biblical counsel for men in the midst of daily battles, and where no man is left behind.
Jesus died for our sins. His blood washed away these stains. He died to give you freedom. So why do you still wear those chains, 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 chains?
This is Band of Brothers Radio.
Good day and welcome to Band of Brothers Radio. You have come to that location on the internet where we talk about the real issues that men face on a daily basis. It's about being transparent, brutally honest, and biblically sound in offering both hope and help for men. As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. We can't do this thing by ourselves, either one of us, or any of us for that matter. But in the studio, I have a sharpener in here with me, and it happens to be Duke. Good to have you, brother.
It is good to be here. Thank you, brother.
Hey, listen, we got a topic today that these guys are listening in because they want to know what's going on. Now, if you're married, you caught the title of this right away and said, okay, I want to know how to be able to deal with my wife and the challenges that she has that I can't accept or whatever, however you want to look at it. Now, if you're not married, this is for you also, because this applies to any relationship that is close to you. Someone that, you know, that you hang around or you're with for times, maybe a good friend, maybe a coworker or something. How do you accept who they are and what they're with their flaws and challenges, just like we have? But anyway, so this is going to be a pretty good topic that we're going to kind of delve into. There may be some application. Our application comes, I believe, from our own experiences, but also from what the Bible lets us know. And
Amen.
So that's what this thing is all about. So we're going to have, it's going to be in a little adventure, kind of stirring our way through or meandering down this river here and going from there. In the meantime, we like to always kind of kick things off with a little bit of encouragement so that you guys get some before too long, because that's what you're here for also, some encouragement. Anything pop in your mind today, brother?
Oh, yes.
Okay.
Oh, yes. This is a powerful encouragement for all the guys. And that is, I was encouraged as my granddaughter, whom we raise, turns 14 today.
All right.
Now, at 14 years old, the encouragement and the blessing that I want to share is she is a granddaughter. So I had other kids, my kids I raised, and I was not walking in the light when I raised my three kids. Now that I am, I've had the opportunity for the last several years to speak that into my granddaughter's mm-hmm. life. And I'll tell you what, at 14 years old, my concern for how she's going to navigate through the world is much, much less than it was with my kids.
Yes.
I have armed her according to the scriptures. She embraces God's word. She thinks along those lines. And that is, I'm just encouraged that is the best armor that I can possibly put on anyone that I love. Because I don't know about you, brothers, but I would take a bullet for any one of my kids or my grandkids. And if we are not armoring them up to be protected from this world, then we're not doing our job. So I'm encouraged. I see it manifest in my granddaughter. I know it's possible. I see it happen even in this difficult culture and her peer pressure influences. She still, by and large, goes to God's word as her first response.
Yes, yes. Well, praise God.
Yes.
Now, she's 14. Does she have 14. A smartphone?
No.
Okay. Well, oh, okay.
Not yet.
That's.
Oh, don't think I haven't got pressure, brother.
Oh, I'm sure you have.
Big
time. I'm surprised that you haven't. I mean, not that you are weak or anything. That's not why I say I'm surprised, but I'm surprised that so many 14-year-olds already have those things. And as we very well know, the challenges that we have as adults with these things, we can only imagine why our kids all of a sudden are wanting to be connected. But this is a completely new time in our world, okay,
yes.
Where communication is done differently than it was back when you and I were growing up, where I want to see what Duke's doing. So I'll actually get to your house, whether it's by my feet or, in your case, a horse's feet.
Well, I thought in your time it was the cans with the string between them.
Yes. Okay. Same as yours. I know you probably played with those, too. And they do work. You know, if you want to ever do something with your kids, get a couple of, tomato paste cans or soup cans and put a hole on the end of them because you already have a hole already from the opening. And get a regular string and tie it on the inside of those and connect them. And you'd be surprised at how much fun you can have with your kids and grandkids. It does work. Anyway, so today we've got a topic that is that you threw at me and said, man, I'm not sure exactly how to be able to talk about this. And but what it concerns is that we love our wives. We wouldn't be married to them otherwise. And or at least I should say at a point in time, we were in love deeply with them. Okay. Mm-hmm. But as you get to live with somebody, you know, there's adjustments. I know that for myself, there were adjustments that I went from my apartment to living with someone that, okay, she has things that she'd like to have a certain way. And, you know, you have all those adjustments that need to take place. And they continue to get refined and maybe remanaged over the years as the time that you spend together.
Yes.
And with that, there are certain quirks and things that take place in our lives. Our wives sometimes notice them in us. In some cases, maybe because of their love for us or hoping that we love them just as much, that we would take it not so personal and just be able to, and they learn how to be able to do that with each one of us, you know, individually to be able, what's the right timing? Timing is perfect. But with that, we sometimes can get to our place of where we find the defects in their character that we consider defects, okay? It may be something they've been doing for a long, long time, but we never noticed it as much, or it's not as apparent as it has been lately. So we become challenged sometimes with how to approach that, how to bring it up, whether we should bring it up at all. And because, you know, in some cases, depending on what the right timing is, I mean, we know this, that there's a certain time of month for our wives when they were younger that you just don't bring up certain things because, you know, it could be misunderstood.
Yes.
And because emotions and hormones and everything like that are really flying high through the household. And if you got daughters, you'll understand exactly what I'm talking about, not just with the daughters, but with your wife also. So there's a few things that men have to be aware of not necessarily to just be quiet and not deal with things, but maybe in a different manner than you would otherwise, right?
Oh, yes. And I've received that from my wife. She'll be very open and has over our 40 years of marriage say, you know, don't blow your nose in front of me and don't do this. And, you know, the obvious things that some guys are like, who cares, you know, kind of stuff. A kind of guy, don't scratch your armpit in public or whatever. Yeah, but then there are the deeper quirky things that maybe I do that she asks me not to, like
right.
It bugs her or something.
Yes.
Well, I know from my experience, brother, first thing I've got is, you know, pushback on that. What do you mean you want me to quit, you know, twiddling my thumbs while I'm waiting or whatever that is?
Yes.
And I search the scriptures, brother. I've been married 40 years and 41 years, actually. And there's these little quirks that I wish I could say something about. Now, they're not to die on a hill about.
Yes.
But they're the little quirks you go, I just wish she'd quit doing that. Mm-hmm. Now, I love my wife, so I do not want to create any rifts. So I go to the scripture and say, okay, Lord, how do you present this to your wife without getting a bunch of pushback?
Yes.
And then, of course, I started thinking about all other people, too, like you had said earlier.
Yes.
And I haven't come up with, other than the, you know, the loving approach of sitting with your wife and saying, you know, I've got something on my mind, but it's not that big a deal.
Right.
Or is it?
There you go. Now, a big part of this is that you end up bringing this up so that we can talk about it a little bit. Now, does Wendy ever, your wife, does she ever listen to the show, our show? Does she ever listen to you?
She claims to have, yes.
Okay, so you're going to find out whether or not she has or not,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Or on this one, I should say.
I am,
but
yes.
She doesn't know the topics that you bring up necessarily.
No, not necessarily.
But in either case, and you're open to do that sort of thing, and that in itself is something I think is admirable, because in a sense, you're almost taking care of it by talking about it here, in a sense of saying, hey, you know, and then maybe applying certain things that may come up.
You want to really know my agenda?
Oh,
my real agenda is I'm going to tell her what the radio show is about as a lead-in.
To be able to break the ice.
There you go. Okay. So I hope this works for you brothers listening.
All right. Well, you know, we had at Band of Brothers on Tuesday night, you happened to be there. We actually talked about, I had three men panel, a man who was married, has been married 47 years with his wife. There was a divorce early on, and then they remarried and continued on. And then there was another gentleman with 40 years. And now these two men with all these years are not perfect men by any means, okay? They're just like you and I continuing on. We are sinful in nature, and sometimes we fall to or default to those old areas sometimes, but not near as much. And then we had a gentleman that is probably in his late 30s when he got married, and he's been married for the first time, and he's been married 3 years. And so we had a pretty good realm of men's experiences with their wives, and most importantly, their relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's what the whole reason that this whole thing is all about. That's the reason that we gather right now. He happens to be the common denominator. He happens to be the reason that we're doing what we're doing today. And our wives, God bless them, that they are actually on board with us with that.
Oh, yes. Okay? Oh, yes.
Now, there are many men who don't have that that opportunity to say, wow, I wish my wife would believe, because she doesn't even come to church with me. She doesn't do certain things with me. She doesn't read with me the Bible. She won't even be in the room when I'm reading it. And she says, okay, you can pray just for the meal and that's it. She won't even pray with me other than that. So there are men that have those type of relationships that are godly men that are continuing to persevere. Now, that's kind of the path I'm going to be going down here, because sometimes we need to realize how fortunate we are for the things that we do have instead of looking at the things that we don't have, okay?
Amen.
And sometimes that's a different mindset than the way that even I used to think, you know, because it's like, hey, I was the guy that if you don't play up by my rules, I'm taking the ball home and you guys can just figure it out yourself,
yeah.
You know, type of thing. And that's usually what had taken place. So in this relationship with our wives, who we've actually made not only a commitment, but we have actually we shared vows together of saying that we are going to be together no matter what, you know, rich or poor, right? In sickness and in health,
yes,
okay?
Till
death do
us
part, okay? Yeah. So all of these things, these are things that we not only said to them, but we said in the witness of so many that happened to be there. Even if it's just a few more people than the two of you at your wedding, someone else heard that. And they could say, did you hear him say this? Yes, I did, you know? And we can't deny it, right?
That's right.
So,
that's right.
That's why it's so important that we actually, the things that we end up deciding to do, that it's not like, I'll make this decision now and then later I'll change it. Or maybe I'll look at it differently. And no. You make a commitment. It's a covenant. Okay. So.
Yes. And if I go back to the first years of marriage, I'll say, the honeymoon time. It didn't matter what she did.
Yeah.
Okay?
That's right.
It was like, we know what's going on here, brother. And we overlooked whatever it was. And, of course, both of us at that time are probably giving extra effort to the relationship because you're in love and it's giddy and it's all that. And I'll tell you what, there has been times, brothers, that I've been challenged with something in my relationship, maybe a behavioral or a decision my wife and I are, and I will go to the scriptures that remind me. I put God first, and then right after that is my wife. And I'm to love her as Jesus loved the church. And what did he do? He gave the ultimate sacrifice for the church.
Yes.
So now I try and quantify that to me and go, okay, am I willing to die for the love of my wife in this way? And I will admit, that when I contrast it with that, whatever I'm thinking about begins to become puny.
Yes.
In comparison.
Yeah. You know, there's maybe it's just in the air, but sometimes it just seems like sometimes certain topics, even that what we bring up here, are things that are going on in others' lives. And, you know, we've been fortunate and honored to be able to encourage other brothers who share the challenges that maybe we have gone through ourselves to
Amen.
Be able to help give them opportunity to see the light and seeing it through a different window. And that's really what we're doing here.
Yes.
Okay. It's not like it's hard, fast. If you did this, this is what's going to work. It really depends on my desire to really want to be more like Christ. See? Because that's what it comes down to, is that desire.
And I've thought.
Because I made my commitment, right, to the
yes,
Lord.
Yes,
said,
yes,
Lord,
yes.
I want you to be not only my Savior to get me out of this, but I want you to be my Lord, the manager of my life. I'm going to you with everything. Because I was in such a in depth of darkness in my life at that time that he actually answered that prayer.
Yes.
And he came in, okay, into my heart. I accepted him and asked for forgiveness. Now, as a result of that, sometimes we need to be reminded, remember what you did. You said that you were willing to do whatever he wanted you to do. And as we get to know him through his word, we come to see some of the things that are important. Now, if like anything else, I remember telling a friend of mine who said, I told him, I said, you know what? Maybe what I ought to do before I accept Jesus is actually read the Bible first, especially the New Testament. See what it is that Jesus requires of me first, because I don't know if this is what I want to do today. And it's really too late. I was looking for a reason to be able to justify my behavior and my feeling.
You bet.
Okay.
You bet.
And what it came down to is that I needed to do these things that I did not necessarily want to do. That's what, okay. So I'm not trying to get the cart before the horse here, but really what it comes down to is that, let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, okay?
All right.
This
All right.
is one of the places in the New Testament. There's a few of them, okay? Verse 7, okay? Now, well, first off, I want to say chapter 3, verse 1. A lot of guys like this. They say, and this is from my NLT, it says, in the same way, you wives must accept the authority of your husbands. Okay? So, yeah, see there? You go, ooh, yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that's NLT, a power verse there,
NLT,
brother.
I'm getting that Bible. So I can actually, you know, so, yeah. And now the others, they have pretty much the same meaning. And it goes on, then, even if some refuse to obey the good news, your godly lives will speak to them without any words. They will be won over by observing your pure and reverent lives. And he's talking to the wives who have husbands who are not believers. Okay?
Okay.
That's where he's talking about here. That's where he's saying, okay, so there may be some guys who are listening and say, yeah, I'm not necessarily a believer. So he goes on, don't be concerned about the outward beauty and about how you dress and so on and so forth. So he goes on, Peter talks about how the wives would be, very in line with what Paul has said in other areas, in Corinthians and Colossians, etc. Now we get down to verse 7.
All right.
Okay.
All right.
He says, in the same way, you husbands must give honor to your wives. Treat your wife with understanding as you live together. She may be weaker than you are, but she is your equal partner in God's gift of new life. Treat her as you should, so your prayers will not be hindered. Period. That's the end of that little section right there. So that your prayers are not hindered. You know, I just want to say something just about that portion, because it's like, okay, treat her as the weaker, as the not as strong physically in a sense, okay? She may be wiser, she may be better teacher of the gospel to our kids or maybe to our grandkids, you know, than I am. But she, in a physical sense, she's weaker. She's looking for me for the protection and to be able to provide, or in a sense, that sense of security for her here on this earth, okay?
Yes, yes.
But as not honoring her or respecting her is something that I need to be doing all the time, okay? Mm-hmm. Because it could hinder my prayers, okay? So there's another place in the Bible. It talks about our prayers being so that our prayers would be heard. Okay, that the men gather together and they reveal their sins with each other and they pray together so that we may be healed, right? And the prayers of a righteous man are powerful and effective. A righteous man, someone who's trying to do the right thing.
Right, so Peter's saying you may be praying with the wrong agenda.
That's right.
Okay.
Or just wondering, why are my prayers not being answered? Or why is it that things just don't seem right in this other area of my life? You know,
yes.
When I'm maybe not treating or my wife the way that the Bible says I ought to.
So don't be surprised at the fallout.
And this is, okay. And this is so, I mean, we get caught up in this, you know,
yes.
In our world, no matter what. Some of us are you know, I did not accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior until like 17 years ago, okay? And but when it happened, it happened. Did I believe in him before? Yes, but I never at that place like I have today. And many men sometimes have it for their whole lives. They were raised in a household where they've learned the word. They heard the word. It was inundated in them, and they've lived with it, okay? And for whatever that looks like, okay? But they still know it, okay?
Yes.
The Bible reminds us that, hey, you know, don't just hear the word of God. Mm-hmm. To put it into action, do it, okay? Mm-hmm. Not just be hearers, but doers of the word, all right? So let's, if I go to Philippians, and now it sounds like a Bible study, right? All of a sudden now we're going from 1 Peter, now we're going to go to Philippians chapter 2.
Well, no, that's what we need to do. This is where we find the guidance,
okay.
And can pray.
And let's do this, and then we're going to, actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's take a break first,
okay.
And then we're going to come back, and I'm going to go to Philippians chapter 2, and we'll go from there. We're talking about how to be able to love our wives unconditionally. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Be all that God designed you to be. Band of Brothers Radio reminds you to check the For Men Only tab at faithplace.org for daily tips on becoming better husbands and fathers.
Don't have time or energy to keep up with your yard work?
That's for sure. And that's why we choose Kane's Lawn and Garden, and we have for years. If you live in Whatcom County, Kane's Lawn and Garden can help you with the mowing, the edging, the shrub care and pruning, property weed control, general property cleanup, whatever you need. Give them a call to get a quote, 360-312-9524, or visit their website, caneslawnandgarden.com, caneslawnandgarden.com.
If you're a man that is struggling with alcohol, drugs, pornography, money issues, gambling, there is hope for you. On Monday nights, we have Valiant Warriors, and I invite you to come and check this out. You will come to learn very quickly that you're not alone in your challenge, that there's no judgment nor condemnation. A group of men who are willing to say, I need help. If you live in Whatcom County, come and check us out on Monday nights, every Monday night at 6 p.m. You will not regret it, because there is hope and you can break free. For more information, go to bandofbrothersforchrist.org and click on Valiant Warriors. Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio, Duke and Raul, and we're let's just carry on a little bit where we were at. You guys know where we were at when we left off, but we're in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4 is where I'm going to go with this. And you know, I have to read a little bit before this because it kind of puts it in context. And this is out of my NLT. My ESV says it a little bit differently, but it's all pretty much the same thing. Nothing really changed. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate?
then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. That's meant for all of us, just in the body of Christ.
Yes.
So important. Verse 3 goes on to say, don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take on the interest in others too. Now, you may say, well, how does this apply with my wife? Well, she's an heir to the kingdom, just like you are.
Yes.
She is an heir to the kingdom. She is part of the body. You know, this is the attitude of Christ that we need to bring into everything that we do. See, we can't, sure, we can sit there and we can pray for others. Maybe men will even call us and ask for our take on certain things. And we can give them probably some wise counsel and pray with them and, excuse me, and of that sort. And yet on the same token, after we're finished talking with them, something twists us. That is, you know, in our household or maybe in our workplace or something in within your realm, in your world, that all of a sudden what I just finished telling another brother to do and to look at it a different way doesn't. I don't do it.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
And it's not that, see, here's the confounding thing or the challenging thing is that the enemy is always... He perseveres. He's persistent. The more that we have Christness, it seems like he turns up the burner. But I will tell you this, brother, that somewhere along the line, the more that you actually have the light within you, okay, being God conscious of knowing his presence is with us at all times, the more often we can remember that, the more often, less likely that the temptations and the lies that come in, we'll be able to discern who they are. You know,
true enough. Well, you know, I had a brother recently that I was talking with who's not married, and he was having some difficulty in dating, in that quirks or habits that the gals had or what have you. And so he asked me, he says, how do you go about choosing, you know, a girlfriend? Because he's wife minded. Okay. He wants to live his life with the woman of his dreams kind of thing, and that's kind of his mindset. So I'll tell you, brother, what we did is we went to the scriptures about the relationship of husband and wife. And as you were saying just a little while ago, as I have been married so long and have the memory of history in different events where I've looked to apply God's word in many ways, here I'm telling another brother, and I'm sharing with him Ephesians 5:25, which says that husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And we thought, wow, look at the sacrifice that Jesus made. We're to love our wives as the... So I guess my point is, as I'm telling the brother about this, I'm coming to a realization of, am I really doing that myself? Am I treating her as Jesus did the church?
Yeah, exactly. You know, which takes me right into the next portion that I was going to go to, also in Ephesians, where some guys are sitting there who know the scripture are listening to us and going, wait a minute, how about Ephesians chapter 5? Okay, so in chapter 5, he starts out this way in verse 21, and again, this is Paul speaking, and further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ.
Yes.
Okay, so to each other, we are to submit to each other out of reverence of Christ, okay? My point being is that that's his first statement in this section here when he's talking about husbands and wives. And he goes on to say, for wives, this means submit to your husbands as to the Lord, okay? For a husband is the head of his wife as Christ is the head of the church. He is the savior of his body, the church. Mm-hmm. As the church submits to Christ, So you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. Now the guy's sitting there going, wow, there it is. I'm going to show her these verses. I'm going to show her these verses so that she understands that that I have her best interest at heart, that I love her, I want the best for our family, I should be right in everything that I bring up or discuss. Okay? You know where I'm going with
this. Oh, yeah, I do.
So let's continue reading. So in verse 25, for husbands, this means... love your wives just as Christ loved the church. Period. Now, what? Anyway, he goes on to say, he gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean. He's talking about the church, Christ with the church. He gave up his life for her to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it. Listen to that in verse 29. No one hates his own body but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. And then it goes on to talk about leave and cleave. Now, we sit there and go, well, I don't just love myself. That's kind of arrogant and stuff. I'm looking in the mirror. No, no, no. That's not what he's talking about here. If you're hungry, do you not eat? If you're cold, do you not put on something to stay warm? Amen. If you're wet, don't you do something to make yourself more comfortable by drying off? That's what he's talking about here. So there's a need that needs to be taken care of. And when our wives, or anybody else for that matter, we're talking about wives, but anybody else that's close to us, when they bring up something, when they say or they do something that is maybe questionable on our part, maybe irritable on our part, maybe to that place that I can't accept this any longer, what is it that I can do, my relationship with Christ, to be able to take care of this? Am I willing to go to any length to make this work and to make this correct the way that Jesus sees it? Am I willing to do whatever's necessary? At a time in my life, I was willing to do whatever. He said, stand on your head on the top of Mount Baker. I would do that.
Yep, yep.
Okay, but now I'm down the road a little bit. So what happened to the principles there? The precepts, the things that I had learned, the things that I was willing to do. Am I willing to be more like Christ? So out of Ephesians, all of a sudden now he's reminded me of how I need to love my wife. It's continual, ongoing. You know what? I love this thing I've been listening to lately where it talks about that God's love, okay, we know that it talks about that there's nothing that can separate that. We know that. But how often I have been listening to this one tape of encouragement and exhortation that reminds me that I can't do anything to earn any more love from God. Right. He already loves me 100% just the way that I am. As he loves you 100% just the way that you are.
Yes.
He's the perfect father. He's the perfect one. That's how we are to emulate him. He says, I love you no matter what. He loved us in the midst of our sin. We can't lose any of the love. We can't lose it. He loves us no matter what. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, his only begotten son, okay? So what love is that? Am I willing to do that? Am I willing to give up one of my children, to sacrifice them so that everybody that I know or everybody that's going to come into this world would have everlasting life and completely loved by the Lord, by me? No, I'd probably question that. I don't know if I could do that. We all look at it that way as parents. So, that same premise. Now, I think what we need to do is take a break, take our final break. We're going to come back, and we're going to try to put some application to what we're talking about here. What does this look like? We're not just going to sit there and say, okay, feel guilty because the word has convicted you, and you're going to go on and say, oh, okay, that's great. Now I feel like I need to be just a little dog with his tail between his legs. No. We're going to try to put some application into this. We'll be right back. You're listening to Band of Brothers Radio.
Men, don't fight your battle alone. Download our podcast to your iPod every day and take Band of Brothers Radio with you. We got your back covered.
You know what I love to smell? I love to smell a ham baking in the oven or bacon sizzling in that skillet. Ooh, or maybe some German sausage roasting on the grill. You know what I don't love? I don't love to read the weird ingredients listed on the back of most of those packages of meat. Who needs that junk? That stuff is about as useful as a back pocket on your t-shirt. When it comes to your family's health, it's time for you to fish or cut bait. You need to start buying your hams, bacon, and sausage from a quality supplier like Hempler's Meats. Hempler's uses the finest of ingredients, like old-fashioned natural casings and all-natural spices. Plus, Hempler's products contain no fillers. To place your order, go to Hempler's.com.
Just about nothing is more frustrating than having your internet service go down. And when your service is too slow, that can drive a person crazy. Whether you live in a remote area of the Northwest or in a city, StarTouch Broadband Services is your answer for super quick and reliable service. For almost 20 years, StarTouch has provided high-quality wireless broadband connections on its privately owned microwave and fiber optic network. StarTouch provides both business and residential service across Washington State and is now expanding into Oregon and Idaho, too. Learn more at StarTouch.com.
As for me and my house, we will only serve the Lord.
Welcome back to Band of Brothers Radio. Duke and Raul, and we're in that part of this show that we'd like to be able to at least give you some application. We talked about various things that it talks about, how to love our wives according to Scripture. Okay, you always take everything to Scripture. You'll find it in so many places where it talks about that. We may not be directly, but the principle itself will be there. Okay?
Yes, I'll agree.
And those are the things that we need. And that's why we need sometimes not only wise counsel from someone who's been down the road, but someone who can put it in application in their own lives that's willing to share their own experiences. That's why it's so important where it talks about that for the younger men to actually respect the older men and to know that there's a lot of knowledge there.
Yes.
Okay? And I'm not saying that, you know, because there are men that are older than me that have been, that are wiser than I because of their experiences, but not only their age, but because of what they've actually done in their life. Okay? How did you do this? How did you manage, you know, the challenges of when and how and, you know, should I even, you know, type of thing.
Yes.
And those are the questions that come up in our lives today. So that's what we're, a couple of things that need to take place. One is that I always have to be willing to take a look at myself first. What is my motive and reason for even wanting to say something?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What is my motive and reason? Is it so that I am comforted? Or am I trying to make a point in changing, having her see, and we're talking about my wife, right? Having her see the defect that I see. I notice I call it a defect.
Yes.
Already, because in my own mind,
it's a defect.
Yeah, it's a defect,
yeah,
for me. Okay?
Yes.
Now, so is, am I being selfish in doing that? You know, so there are certain things I need to take a look at.
Am I not harming the relationship by not bringing up those things that I think cause a little bit of a rift?
And then,
or do I let it build up to a crescendo?
Yes. And also, too, the question is, you know, how much of what I say will actually, will she
receive?
Okay?
Yes.
Because I may just start off as an easy thing, and then all of a sudden I get into a little deeper and where the real deal is, okay? So all of these things, they come into our minds. We see something. I got to tell you, you know, this is a small thing, but here's the deal. These small things that are irritants, okay, that we see as, oh, I wish she wouldn't do that, right?
Mm-hmm.
She probably sees the same thing in us that she, in some cases, might say something or might not. But
oh, yes.
That's not a matter of keeping score here.
Right, right.
This is not a ball game. This is not the more points you win. No. This is about a lifestyle of living with your wife, okay, and loving her as Christ loves the church, okay? So in doing so, I mean, I have my wife who, and she knows it because I mentioned to her one time, she'd come out of the shower and the bath mat would always be left there. We don't have a large bathroom. The toilet's right there. It's like, okay, I'm coming in to use the toilet. Why is the bath? And then I've got to put it up and put it up on the deal. It's not a big deal. I mean, but it was a big deal to me because I sit there and I go, oh, I wish you would just do this. Now, you know what? we talked about it one time. I'd mentioned it, and you know what? It is not a big deal. It's okay for me to reach down there and pick it up. I know who I am. I'm a perfectionist. I like things in order in a certain way. And when it is in order, everything's good in my world. But see, it's my world. So is there some selfishness there? Is there some selfish ambition on my part? Yes. It's a little thing, but see, this is how we end up looking at even the bigger things, the same way. We apply the same, use the same tools that we would on the little thing as on we would do on the bigger thing.
Well, you know, and I've processed that before. I'll use the example of another brother, because this isn't really the case with me, but his wife just had never developed skills on house cleaning.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
he'd come home,
yes,
and the place was basically a disaster.
Yes.
And although he would express it to her, she just couldn't seem to wrap her head around her or do it. And I remember thinking, I didn't tell him this, I remember thinking at the time, well, what if Jesus walked into that house after work
mm-hmm.
and it was the WWJD? This just came to mind. He said, what would Jesus do if he walked into the house and saw this? And you're supposed to love your wife unconditionally. Wow, a whole different way to process it. So I'm not going to tell you how that came out necessarily,
right.
But the thought process is Jesus probably would not have criticized the wife. Probably wouldn't have quoted scripture on cleanliness is next to godliness, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what would he have done?
Yes.
Would he have just, you know, looked around, okay, I love my child anyway, and walk out of the room?
Right.
Never say a thing?
Well, here's the deal. When it comes to relationships and communication, there's always two sides to the story. There are always two sides to the story.
Fair enough.
Now, when I'm talking with another brother, I listen to him. The best thing to be able to do is to get both him and his spouse together in the same room, and then let's talk about the same thing. Then there's nothing hidden, okay?
Amen.
But it's all done in the name of Christ. So there's prayer that comes ahead of time. Ooh, prayer? Wow. So how often do you meet with other brothers that you start off in prayer before you start talking? You know that they're going to bring you a topic and something that is kind of maybe a little heavy for them in their lives. And you want to be able to speak what the Lord wants you to speak to them.
Every time.
So why don't we do the same thing? Or do we do the same thing? Do we say, you know, sweetheart, I'm going to just talk about something. Do you mind if I just take a moment here and just pray and acknowledge God's presence in our relationship and in our lives, and then go about praying sincerely, not to try to use that as a key to open a door, but as a covering over, because you're weak also. You have defects also. That's where I have to look at it. I am also, but there's something here I want to be able to share with my wife. Okay, now the beautiful thing is that all of these things kind of lead into bringing God into the middle of it. And she may be too busy. Maybe she's got to pick up the kids at school, and you're all of a sudden asking her during a time when she's challenged time-wise, or she's ready to get the meal out or start cooking or maybe go get food or something or whatever. So you've got to know that when you ask these things, even if you're asking in prayer, use a little bit of common sense. Is this a good time? Ask the Lord. Lord, give me your timing on this.
Yes.
Not my timing, your timing. So maybe the best time is to wait a little bit longer and talk about another time, okay? And you know what? When we take that time with the Lord, He will speak to us. He will prompt us on our heart. That's really what it comes down to. It's not an audible thing. It might be for some guys. I've not known anybody that hears that audibly. It's a prompting on the heart, okay?
Yeah, the Holy Spirit makes it clear.
And so that will come. If we're willing to take the time and make the time to be with Him. Because see, here's something that I don't do as much. I don't pray as much. But then maybe my prayers aren't being heard because I'm not respecting her, honoring her like it says in 1 Peter. Okay? Ooh. So now it's coming pointing back at me. Ooh. You know, the book of James, he says, a man will look in a mirror and immediately turn away and forget what he looked
like. Yes, yes.
And so that's us. That's why I love James. He just, you know, he just goes right to it between the eyes, man. Here it is. Boom. Okay. So often we think that because we are where we're at today or we've gone through so much that we deserve to have someone treat us a certain way, a sense of respect and an acknowledgement that we are the know of knowing of everything, right? We sometimes can put us in our own little bubble, in our own little world of mm-hmm. having that all together. And it's really about being humble, just like Christ, okay?
Yes.
So with that, a couple of things. I'm just going to throw these out at you guys. I just got this off of from questions.org on the back side here on this page. I didn't even look at them. I did highlight a couple of them here. And it says here, are you accepting equal responsibility for the children? If you have children at home, if she's a stay-at-home mom, or even if she works and then comes home and she's taking care of the kids and so on and so forth, are you helping out with that? They're part of your responsibility also, brother.
Amen. Yep.
Okay. Here's one that's so key for Ben. Examine your tone of voice. You may bring something up. You may say, can we pray together? That already sounds a little different than, do we have time for prayer before we get into a discussion here? You know, totally different. When I say that,
and we know it when we're
exactly,
yes,
we do know it. We got to be honest with ourselves.
Yes.
It's so different than like saying once again to her, "I'm sorry." Now this sounds different. Forgive me for the way that I harmed you. Totally different.
Yes.
Okay, because it's heartfelt in a sense. Okay. Here's something I pray that does not happen, and if it does, that it ceases. Do you ever resort to physical or verbal abuse in any form toward your wife? Okay. That means that there are some challenges, there's things that are taking place within you that aren't quite right. It may not be because of her, but she's all of a sudden the scapegoat.
Or the trigger,
whatever.
Yeah, yeah,
but she ends up receiving it, and it has nothing to do with her, but I pray that is not something. Are you a good listener? Now, I used to consider myself a really good listener. And what I did is I knew what I wanted to say before she would end up saying. So all I heard from her was blah, 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 right?
Yep.
I'm just waiting for her to pause long enough so I can insert my wisdom.
My important point. Yes, sir.
Oh. And then the last one here that it says here, and this is what I think is so important. Are you the guardian of her heart, her dreams, her self-worth? You cannot be God to her, but you can encourage her to connect with God in such a way that her deepest emotional needs are met in Him. Now, having said that, I want to just say something. This is not a boasting for Raul, but this is a boasting for the Lord. One of the biggest, most significant words of encouragement to me that I did not realize I was getting or was doing was when my wife mentioned to me that she loved when she saw me on my knees in my office. Yeah, my office is my home, but of praying to God. That was so significant to her. She knew at that point that I am seeking to do God's will in our lives, not just my life, but in our lives as a family. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And as a result of that, the changes will take place. If I'm willing to say, okay, Lord, what is it that I can do? You know? Not necessarily look for the flaws. I may see the flaws. She's imperfect. She's not the way that I would. I love her the way she is, and I would love her even more if she was different, if she didn't have this. I need to look at her the same way that Christ looks at us. And I mentioned earlier, Christ loves us 100% just the way we are, the way we were before and the way that we're going to be. We can't earn any more love. We can't lose any more love. He loves us just the way we are.
Yes.
So, the end of the show.
Yes.
So, you know, brother, I tell you what, there's much to learn and much to receive, and I believe through His Word, when we gather with others, even with our wives, would you mind praying for our brothers today?
Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your anointing on this time. I just pray that the Holy Spirit has spoken to each one of the listeners here and how they can apply your word, the love of their wife, and that understanding to their relationship, and be an example for others to see it through them. In your precious name, in Jesus' name, amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you, brother. The Lord make His face shine upon you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you shalom.